It's nice to have you here for the third session of this designer gift study as we're looking at the gifts that God gives to us. We have in the past looked at several things. In the first session, we talked about the gifts and how God the Father is giving these to us, the ones we have in Romans. But we also know from the book of Ephesians that Jesus Christ gives gifts to the church. And He provides the church with different offices that function within the church well. And then we know that the Spirit of God manifests Himself in gifts to us. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, He tells us about that. So we know those are all things that God provides for us, and they're coming from the different persons of the Trinity, because it sort of helps us understand how they're given to us particularly. In the first session, we talked about ourselves being a living sacrifice, how God called us in the first part of Romans chapter 12 to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, which is holy and acceptable. It's reasonable that we do that because of all that He's done for us. So if you're going to be used properly as a person with giftings for the body, you've got to be a person who's willing to give yourself over to the Lord in this way. Otherwise, the sad thing is the gifts can be used for destructive purposes. They can be used to build up, but they can actually be used to tear down. And it's happened a lot within the churches over the last 100 years that gifts have been used to divide people and to destroy people rather than their intended use to build them up. Part of it's been because people who've been operating those gifts have not followed the directive from the Scriptures to become living sacrifices. And we talked about how either you are a sacrifice who's actually understood that, you've done that, or maybe you needed to do that. And if you've done that, really given yourself over to the Lord for His purposes, sometimes people need to climb back up on the altar, because one of the problems with living sacrifices is they tend to crawl off and they quit their strong obedience to Him. Then we looked the next week at how God uses us, uses giftings to serve the body. We're not just to do these things for ourselves, but we're to do them for the body, and how the body is made up of a bunch of different parts, but that function, they all function together. And that's the way the gifts are supposed to function within the church. Everybody doing stuff. Nobody gets a pass. Nobody gets a bye. If everybody's not doing stuff, then you're not functioning as the body. Now, the body's to be doing it for each other and also reaching out, but it's for the purpose of ministry that God gives us these gifts. And one of the key telling points of that you're a person who's following God in this way and operating your gift is you really like what you're doing. I mean, you really like what you're doing. God made me to be a teacher. And so I really enjoy studying. I study and 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 study. And I'm not tired. There have been times I've gone into my office and my secretary's come in and said, I hadn't seen you all day. I wondered if you were still here or alive. And it's because I just got studying. And the hours went by and I wasn't keeping track of the hours. I wasn't watching the clock. And I'd spent 8 hours in there and hadn't really come out. I'd gone to the bathroom a couple times, but that's it. You know, I'm just studying. And just, she was blocking everybody from me. It was great. And I could get some good studying time. Teachers like to study. Also, you do it, and you put things together, and you present it. And quite frankly, I've gotten tired. I was at one conference I was doing one time, and I was speaking, and I was bushed. I mean, I was so tired, I could hardly just walk around. I was just really tired. And I said, Lord, I've got to present 2 hours tonight. And I'm really tired. What do I do? And he had me go in. Do you remember the CD called Jerusalem Shalom? Shalom? Or Shalom Jerusalem, I guess is the name of it. And so he just said, put that on. So I put that on, and it's a 45-minute CD because I had just a little bit of time. I put that on, and by the time that had finished, I was ready to go. In fact, it was pretty good because it was 5 minutes before I was speaking. And so I walked in and started speaking, and the Lord energized me for that entire time. And then I wiped out, and that was the last session. I went home and I was gone. You know, I was just out of it. And I was so tired. It's okay to be tired in ministry, in doing stuff. But I wasn't tired of it. And, you know, I get some rest and I'm back up ready to go again. And so that's how you know that you're in your gifting. You really like it. You can be tired, but you want to do it. You're not tired of it. I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't burn out. A lot of people burn out because they're not really doing what they like, and they just burn out rather than enjoying it. Now, we look at the different giftings. These are them: prophecy, helps, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And we went through each one of those and what they are. And today what we're going to do is talk about the style in which you serve the Lord, because he continues with that, Paul does, in the book of Romans. And so we'll be looking at that in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, we want to review the gifts so that you can, again, understand what they are. And so I'm going to go through it kind of fast, but I want you to look with me, and that's why you have the sheet there, so that you can look and hang in with us and see the giftings we have. But you want to be a person who serves the Lord in the proper style, the proper way. So Paul says in Romans chapter 12, he says of the gifts, if prophecy, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in the portion of the faith. It says your faith in some of them, but the article is actually there, the faith. And I don't know why translators didn't translate it that way. When it says the faith, I tend to think that means in accordance with the Scriptures, because that's the faith delivered to us. And so we prophesy that way. Now, a person who has this gifting receives impressions from the Lord. I mean, and how that happens, well, we have to go into prophecy. But there are all different kinds of ways, and God speaks to people in these different ways. But when he does, he's usually speaking to them about somebody else, and he shares with them about someone else. And then they have the obligation to pray. And the first time the word prophet's used in the Old Testament is with Abraham, and it's in conjunction with the word pray. Abraham's a prophet, he'll pray for you, is what God said. And so they pray, and always they're to pray, but sometimes they're to speak to the person. How do you know which one you're supposed to do, whether you're supposed to speak to the person or just pray? How do you know that? There's a simple answer. How do you think you would know that? Yeah, the Spirit of God would tell you. You need to seek God. Lord, do you want me to do this? And so he's given this to you, and you need to say, what is this for? Is this so that I just pray, or is this so that I talk to them? Sometimes you'll talk. Sometimes you'll just pray. And again, it needs to be the God of heaven directing you as he does that. And we know from the book of 1 Corinthians that the person who has this gifting, their purpose is to build someone up. That's to take them and edify them. To stir someone up. That's to get them up moving, you know, doing something, not just sit. Because so many times people get in situations and problems and they just spin around. They don't do anything. They're just doing this number. You know, they're moving, but they're not going anywhere. And so sometimes you've got to stir them up and sometimes cheer them up. So God has that being the task that we do. Now, the problem with all of these gifts is that everybody's supposed to do the stuff that every one of the giftings is. In the Scriptures, you know who can prophesy? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, that everyone would prophesy. He wants everybody doing it. Well, if everybody can do it, then how do you know if that's your gifting? And that's where it gets a little bit difficult, because everybody's supposed to do it. But one of the ways that we can tell is by the different qualities that are there within the life, and I put those listed those in the notes here for you, that a person who's prophetic, this is just, all of a sudden, God just shows up. I mean, you know, you're just sitting there minding your own business, and God brings something to you. And you know, it's kind of easy to know if you have that, if God's been doing that. I didn't know what that was for a long time. I'd sit and people would come in and I'd be sharing with them. And God would bring ideas to my mind. And it was totally off of what we were discussing, totally off of their problem. And I would just learn to say, you know, does this word cantaloupe mean anything to you? You know, and they start crying. And I'd go, what is that? You know? Or I'd say, does the color red mean anything to you? Yeah. Or does, I have an image that I'm just, I don't see anything, but I'm just, it's of a candle and the smoke's just going up. It's not lit, but smoke just continues to come off of it. And they started crying. I'm going, I do not understand this, because it's not me. You understand? That's how you know that it's God the Spirit doing that, because it's not you. It's stuff that just seems crazy. The cantaloupe thing actually went with me. The cantaloupe thing was in a small group where a person had trouble. I happened to be at that small group, and the small group leader was asking us to pray for this person and asking God if there's something that we can help her with. And so we were praying, and he said, the small group leader said, oh, did anybody get anything? And nobody said anything. And then they said no. And he said, well, let's pray again. So they prayed again. And he said, all right, did God give anything to anybody? And everybody says, no. And I'm just watching this thing take place. It's really great to see it happen. And the small group leader says, well, we asked. I don't know why we didn't get something. And one man said, well, I got something that doesn't make any sense. And he said, that's when he said the word cantaloupe. And the lady just started crying. Because that's when everything started, when she was cutting a cantaloupe. And all of a sudden we found the source that Satan was using to cause this stuff, and we were able to deal with it in the class, in the setting of a small group. So prophetic stuff goes like that, and God does that. Everybody's supposed to do it. Everybody can do that. But some people are real gifted in that. Now, there's a potential problem with all of these. Do you see that? I have it on your sheet. There's a potential problem. A person who has this gifting can be very judging. They can judge people. Why? Well, because they're beginning to know things that maybe other people wouldn't know about them. And so they can have that. Or they sometimes share things with people and the people don't walk in it. And they go, well, God told me to tell you. Why aren't you doing it? You know, and they become very... That can happen. That's one of the potential problems. They can also think too highly of themselves. Do you understand how that can happen? I mean, God's speaking to them. They're sharing with other people. When they share with other people, they really go, yeah, I mean, they really associate with that. And they go, wow, God's really using me. And you know, it's real easy to take the step from God's using me to the next step. Aren't I something? You don't seem to believe me. Do you understand it's that way? I mean, it's that way in any of the speaking gifts. You can go and be really inflated and go against what Paul said. He says, don't think more highly of yourselves. It's easy to go that way. And they can also manipulate people for their own purposes. Do you understand that? Instead of God speaking to them, it can be something from their own flesh. It can be something that they just want to say to them. And so they come to them because they know that they have a gifting. They've seen God use them. Then they'll go with that and it messes things up. So we've got to be very careful that we use this under the direction of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it can cause major damage. This next one is called serving or ministry or helps. It's just gifting that covers an awful lot of territory. A lot of things are involved in it. It's where someone takes personal abilities and engage those abilities in serving others to cause ministry to be enhanced and to be broadened. And these people get engaged. How do they know when to engage? I mean, all of these are Spirit-directed. Do you understand? I mean, you can do everything in the flesh. You reckon it. How do you know that God's engaging you in this? Because if you have this gift, you just go, Lord, okay, what am I supposed to do? As you walk into a situation, boom, you see and you're able to do it. Or you go up to a person and say, the Lord just impressed me. There's something I can do to help you. I don't know what it is. Would you tell me? And so, boom. It's rare when I've had people say that, but when I've had people say that, it's marvelous. Because at that point in juncture, there's usually been a situation where I need another whole set of hands, maybe two sets of hands besides mine, and I don't have them. And all of a sudden a person comes up and says that, and I go, phew, boy. And I know what kind of gift they have. Well, we talk about the characteristics in the notes. You can see those. Those are people who don't have to be in the limelight. They don't really need people to come and pat on the back. They're fine at doing it. They just use their personal abilities to get kingdom things done. Because their desire is to see the things work well and to get the kingdom done. And they know the people who tend to be up front and the people that are more visible need the help. You understand, this has been a problem, though, in the church. Because one of the things that can happen with this, one of their problems is they can feel like they're very unimportant. Because they're not visible. And they're just doing stuff. And all I'm doing is doing this, and that's not much. They don't understand how vitally important they are. Because when we're up front and I'm having to juggle... to be able to speak, I'm having to juggle a tennis ball, a ping pong ball, a grapefruit, a bowling ball, all at the same time. It's really hard. And then I've got to concentrate on speaking. Do you understand that? Because I'm setting up this stuff, I'm doing that, and then three people come up and say, would you do this? And I'm going, how do you do all that at the same time? I need that. And so God energizes people. They come up and I go, great, can you do this? That would really help me out. The other problem, and that, like I said, they feel unimportant. It's sort of like your lungs. Unless you have lung problems, do you think about your lungs very much? I mean, you probably hadn't thought about your lungs today, have you? Because we just don't think, and are your lungs necessary? They're not on the outside of us, but they're extremely necessary. They don't get seen, but boy, do we need them. Same way with these. Also, they can sometimes, if they're not energized by the Spirit of God, they'll feel used. They feel like they're being used. And my comment to that is, well, I mean, that's what the gift of service is. You don't serve somebody unless they're using you to help. You know, and so that's fine. But Satan will beat them with that, and they'll feel like they're being used. And that's a problem. Whenever I feel that way, I just remember, you know what? I use Jesus all the time. Don't you? I mean, the way I get anything is because I use Jesus. When I go to the Father, you know how I go to the Father? In Jesus' name. Right? I mean, I use Jesus all the time. His blood provided me salvation, and He provides me forgiveness. Everything. I use Jesus all the time, so that's okay. And sometimes, if they get in the flesh, they'll want to do things their own way. And that's a problem for people that are in helps, because if they want to do it their own way, they got a particular way of doing this. It may not be the way of the person who is involved in using their help. And the problem can be they don't understand what's coming next. Because sometimes I've had people want to help and they want to do it their way and they don't understand. Right after I finish this, we got to go into this. And therefore, if you do it that way, we have to go back and reconstruct stuff. Does that make sense? And so many times, if they go in the flesh, rather than trying to walk in it, there's this potential problem. Well, for teaching, this is a person who takes the Word of God and provides a teaching that makes things easy to understand. And how do they know what to teach? I mean, if they're walking in spirit, they go before the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do here? And the Lord then gives some good download to them. They study. They work through it. They seek Him. And part of my studying is saying, Lord, I don't understand this. What does this mean? Because I've got a lot of questions. In fact, I have a whole lot more questions than the Lord ever wants to answer. I just throw out all kinds of questions. Some of them He'll give me some great insight. And I know that when He does that, those are the things I need to focus on. So He helps us with that. What are the difference between teaching and prophetic is prophetic people want individuals to trust God. That's the whole thing. Just trust God. You can trust Him with this. This is what He's saying to encourage you. Teachers want people to understand what God's way is. I want you to know what God says. I want you to understand this. And so we repeat ourselves a lot, we who are teachers. But guess who's supposed to teach? Everybody. I mean, Jesus said in the Great Commission, we're to make disciples, we're to baptize, but then teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Everybody's to do that, not just some. And so that makes it problematic. For again, the potential for teachers is judging. You didn't do what I said. I taught you what to do and you didn't do it. It's real easy to go into judging. Or, look how great I am. You know, because it's real easy. Let me tell you, it's easy to get there. can I just say something to you and put this down for mental note? But if God ever uses you in somebody's life and they're just giving you all kinds of praise, a man named Ravi Zacharias, one day I heard him being introduced at a meeting. And this lady who was introducing him, she met the Lord because of him. So she was just going on and on and on about him and just all these kind of accolades and I mean, it's really stuff that puffs your head up. I know, because I've been there, you know. And as they do this, it just pushing the plunger down to puff the head, you know. And Ravi Zacharias said something that I've never forgotten, and I've tried to follow the pattern. He said this, you know, it's wonderful when God's able to use you to help other people. Because where does the focus go with that statement? To God, sure. And that's where it needs to be properly. And teachers often manipulate people for their own purposes. Rather than helping them learn how to think through the Scriptures, they think for them. And yet God never wants us to take our brain out and set it on a place and just come in and drink the Kool-Aid. He wants us to understand what His Word says. He wants us to follow through and understand the things that are there in the Scriptures. And so manipulation can take place with people who aren't walking in this gifting. So you have teachers, and so this is a thing that they have. Well, a person who's involved in exhortation is different from teaching and prophetic in that this person takes biblical truth and applies it to the life, applies it through life experiences to encourage others to walk in the truth. You know, they say, look what God says, and this is how it's happening with me, now you can do it too. And the whole purpose is walking with God, that's their big push. But they usually are taking a verse or two. They're not providing a systematic way that can be reproduced. They're taking a verse and applying it into the life of an individual. How do they know what verse to do? How do they know what story to do? You know what they're supposed to do? Seek who? God. I mean, because these are things that God the Spirit does in our lives to accomplish this task. Their emphasizes that a person walks God's way, that the lifestyle moves in a person walking God's way. You know, one of the reasons is because everybody's found out that works best. I mean, the reason the Bible still exists as a book in our society after it was written, the New Testament, a couple thousand years ago, and the Old Testament longer than that, is the things that are in the Scriptures provide a pattern for living life that makes life livable. In a world that's rough and hard and has a lot of bruises, it provides what we need to live there. But everybody's supposed to exhort. So again, it becomes a problem. Am I an exhorter? Am I a teacher? What am I? Is this my gifting? And they also can think more highly of themselves. They can be judgmental. And they can manipulate for their own purposes if they're not controlled by the Spirit of God. A person who gives is a person who takes his material resources to fund the works of the kingdom of God without any ulterior motives. They don't have to be listed. You know, they don't have to be organ donors that get a plaque that says this organ was given in this name. You know, because you see that if you've been in large churches, they have organs and different people's names are all over the place. They're in the pews, at the windows, because they've all given this stuff, you know. Well, my problem with that is the scriptures say they already got the reward. They gave that, but they've already got the reward. I mean, Jesus said that when the guy goes in blowing the horns, you know, so everybody can see what he's poured into the treasury. And he says he's already got his reward. When you give, give so that nobody really sees. It's not for the purpose you're in aggrandizement of your of how great you are. You just give. And so, you know, you go around to any college, do you tell people who have given money? Why? Because all the buildings have a name for somebody, right? I mean, it happens all the time. It even happens in seminary. I mean, in seminary, they've got professorships and they're named after people. I'd love to have a professorship that's John the Apostle professorship, or the Paul the Apostle professorship, or the Mary Magdalene professorship. You know, I mean, what? That then would, in my opinion, be done right. But schools never get any money because people want to have their name plastered. They want to get the reward while they're here, rather than there. So their emphasis is physical resources for the kingdom of God. But who's supposed to give? You understand? Is this my gift or is it not? The potential problem is they also can feel used. They can really think they're great because they gave a lot of money. And they also can say, now, I gave a lot of money. I had some people talk to me one day. They wanted something to take place in the congregation, in the former congregation I was in. And they came up and they said, we've given a lot of money to this church. And I real fast said, Lord, how do I respond to that? And the Lord gave me an idea. I just said, well, you know, that's not the reason I want you here at our congregation. Because it's not your money. It's you. And that's the true reason. So the Lord helped me out with that. So anyway, giving, they can feel like they want to have their way all the time. Leading, well, this is a person who takes the plans of God, both biblical and local, and develops plans to accomplish the works for the kingdom with diligence. They strategize. They figure out what to do. And this is part of the computer thing. How do you know? How do they know where to provide the leadership? How do they know what to do with structure? You know how they find the structure out? It's part of their DNA. It's part of the way God made them. But they need to always seek God. What happens if you don't seek God? You come up with your own stuff. You see, I have a Bodeism. A Bodeism is the thing that I say that I can't back up from Scripture. Because I just don't have it. But I have a Bodeism just from watching people. And my Bodeism is this. I think that God the Father gives these gifts to everybody when they're born. I think these giftings are in a person. The reason I say that is because I've seen some really great teachers who aren't believers in Jesus Christ. Have you ever found those? I mean, they're just really dynamic. I've seen other teachers, Christian and non, who they're not teachers. They might be getting paid for being a teacher. They might stand up and talk, but they're not teachers. You ever run into any of those? I've had them in class, you know, where you need toothpicks to keep your eyes open and an IV drip of caffeine going right in your system just to begin to stay awake in their classes because they're so terrible. But people that are involved in teaching and leading and doing things, leading, they just think structure and they know how to help people step into those things. They're great in accomplishing that. They provide structure for the kingdom. But everybody's supposed to lead, so here again we have another problem that comes. One of the things that they can do is they can slack off before the job's done. And that happens to a lot of leaders. They, again, can think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And they can cause divisions. Because they're well at organizing. They can organize divisions. They don't do it. They have to implement it. They accomplish it and cause all kinds of havoc. And showing mercy. The last one's this one. That's where they take the love and the grace of God to provide empathy and compassion to those who suffer so they might move again in God's ways and do God's things. And these people are around to help restore folks in the kingdom of God. Now, how do you know if you're supposed to show mercy? Well, who's supposed to show mercy, first of all? Everyone's supposed to show mercy. And God wants us all involved in that. But you need to pray. Lord, what do I do to show your mercy to this person? Because again, these are all energized by the Spirit of God. And they can have a bad attitude, thinking that they've been used. He says that we're to show mercy with cheerfulness. They can have a bad attitude. You know, I've seen some people that are really mercy givers, and you know what they've done? I got to go into this again. I mean, I just... And that's telling me that maybe they aren't a mercy giver. Or they've just been overused, you know, and they just need to get away for a little bit and come back into it. If you push them away, say you don't have to do it, and then they're clamoring at the bit to want to do it again, it's probably they have that gifting and Satan's used something to hurt them. They many times get discouraged by the failures of others. That's one of the problems you have with the giftings. You can get discouraged if you're in charge of sharing with other people. And many times they just want to give up. And the activity that we never give up in is showing God's grace and God's mercy. So here we have all these different activities that are involved in these giftings. Again, I think God gives these to people because I've seen people that are just leaders. Haven't you seen those people? I mean, they stand up and they put structure. They think structure. They think putting it in structure, and they think implementation. And all of a sudden, you just see them implementing things, and you're going, "How do they do that?" Because that's who they are. Now, I think that I think I'm a teacher. I think that's the dominant gifting that I have. I think there are other giftings that I also have, and that makes it a little bit more difficult to find out. But my dominant one, I think, really is teaching. And so that's God's gift to me. I'm a bit leadership. You pour some of that in me. I'm a little bit mercy. I'm a little bit prophetic. And I'm a mix. I'm not just one thing. But I have one dominant that's really there. And so I would like for you to talk about what's dominant in your life. Okay? Because I think that's important. Everybody has something. And once you find this out, it's going to help you because then you'll be going to the Lord. He'll energize it. And the neat thing is we have a chance to find out what the giftings are. You don't just say, "I'm this," and then you go off and do it. You say, "I think I'm this." And then you have it tested by both experience and people to find out if that's really your gifting. We have part of the family here to do that. Like I said, I think God gives these to everybody. It's just that until you are controlled by the Spirit of God, well, they sometimes can do good, but sometimes they can do hurt because they can be used to manipulate and to force and to move other things, you know? So I think everybody's got them. It's just when you come before the Lord, then I think He's able to energize and go. Because you can put an awful lot of stuff into these different things. Would you agree with that? A whole lot of activities when the church fit into this. So I'd like for you to get with some people, and I don't know how to do this. Brittany, I guess you and Jim, if y'all could handle the younger folks today, would you do that? Okay. Would you do that? All right. So I'm going to ask the younger folks that are in here to get back with them. And I'd like to ask us to get with some other people. And for the next 5 minutes, I'd like you to discuss this question. What do you think your top gifting is? What do you think that is? What's the top gifting that you have? And so it should be just easy to get into groups. You don't have to separate out because, you know, husbands and wives can sometimes say things that others can't, you know, and just say, "No, I don't think you're that. I think maybe you're this." And so and we'll see. Like Janice, what do you think Bill's gifting is? Is that dangerous? Okay, I want to ask it then. Shannon, what do you think Brad's gifting is?
I would say probably leadership or exhortation.
Okay, leadership and exhortation. Is that what you said? Yeah, I think so too. And we'll just have to see which one's the dominant one. And sometimes it's hard to know. We'll see, and we'll find out there. So I'd like you to do that. We're going to take 5 minutes. I've got you going right now. And the purpose of this is what gifting? What gifting do you think you have? What do you think is the gifting that's a strong one that God gives you? So let's take the 5 minutes. You'll break up and do that right now, and we'll do that, okay? So who do you get with? You've been able to figure out everything yet, but I'm going to pull you back if I could. I think an awful lot of what people do can fit into these. Let me just say, I really think that moms have a hard time figuring this out because moms that are actively involved. Being moms do this all the time, and they have to do all of them all the time. And so, you know, they get double hit because in the church that you're supposed to do everything anyway as a Christian, and then as a mom, they're having to do all these things all the time, and it's just really hard to pair out one to say, okay, this is me. But I'd encourage you to pray about it and ask the Lord. Again, these are just headings, and a lot of things fit into them. And we'll just ask the Lord which one is the one that He wants to be using you in. And it may be you find in your life, there have been times where I have seen this come out real, real strong, showing mercy come out real, real strong in my life. I've seen leading come out real strong, where all of a sudden structure just came to me. I've seen exhorting be strong in me, and teaching, of course, just sort of as a dominant stays there. But I've done the other things too, helping. When I'm involved in seminars that I'm learning, I tend to take on that role, and I tend to be the person that's helping the guy do the stuff because I know what he's having to go through. So I'm up there trying to do what I can and offer my services. And so, all of these are things we all do, but there's usually one that's dominant in your life. And so I encourage you to seek the Lord and just ask Him and find out what that is. But once we've done that, then you need to understand in these ministry giftings that you have, you need to be sure that you are using them properly. Because, like I said, they can be used for destructive purposes. And they have been used for destructive purposes. They're potential problems. And so we want to deal with how do you keep from having these potential problems. And the Scriptures don't just stop and say, here are the giftings. Following right on after He talks about the giftings in verse 8, then He talks about how we go away from these selfish things that can be manifested in the giftings. Because we can have selfish control where control is an issue for us. We can have ambition where we want to raise ourselves up above a group so they think we're something special, the recognition of that. And there's this aggrandizement where we just really want everything coming to us. Just selfish stuff. And those can operate out of the gifts. But Paul then tells us how we operate correctly. It's starting in verse 9. Watch with me as we go through the book of Romans. Starting in verse 9, Paul says this: "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." So in verse 9, he tells us, first of all, we need to have love for one another. It's interesting to me, in every single one of these gift passages, in the Ephesians 4 passage, in the 1 Corinthians passage, love is a dominant theme that runs through that. You remember in chapter 12, he talks about all these giftings, and there's where they have a whole long list of giftings and manifestations of the Spirit of God. And then you get chapter 12, and then chapter 14 picks up again with the giftings. You remember what chapter 13 is in the book of 1 Corinthians? What chapter is it? The love chapter. Now, we pull it out and throw it in at weddings, but its context is giftings. Because if you don't operate the giftings in love, they will cause problems. So here, he starts off right at the first. Let your love be real. I mean, show this love to the people. If something's wrong, pull away from it. Treat it as a horror, one of the translators said of that word in the Greek. And hold fast to what is good. So as you're gifting, as you're using your gifting, you need to make sure that you are walking right. You don't want to manipulate. That's a horrible thing. And you don't want to do things that are using your giftings wrong. In verse 10, he continues and says this: "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." So here's what we do. We love one another with brotherly affection. Now, I don't know what your relationship was with your brother, if you even have a brother. I didn't have a brother, but I understand what the word means. It means to really care for somebody. And why is that necessary? Well, because you know what? They're probably going to mess up. They're probably going to fail. They're probably going to... But you know what you do with people that are family? You usually love them anyway, right? And you just understand that's them. And so you love them with this tender affection. And then you take delight in showing honor to one another. And so to do that, that means you have to back up and let other people receive honor. And so you do that. You don't shew it. You don't secure it for yourself. In verse 11, he says, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So the style of service that we're to do in the giftings is we shouldn't be slothful. I read one time where a sloth, they just are filthy animals because they wouldn't even clean themselves. They're just sloths. They just don't do anything. And he says, don't be slothful. Instead, really serve the Lord with zeal. Be enthusiastic in what God's called you to do and serve Him. In verse 12, he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. And so he gives you a command. Remember, all these are commands, and God doesn't give us commands for things that we do normally. He never says to you, breathe. Right? Why? Because we're going to do it. Until we die, we breathe. But He says to us things like, rejoice in hope. You know why? Because it's really easy to look at somebody and say, they're hopeless. I mean, after you've worked with them and worked with they're hopeless. The Lord says, rejoice in hope. Remember Abraham, he hoped against hope, it says in Romans. When there was no hope for him, he's 100 years old and he's going to have a baby, come off it. You know, it was in a day prior to ED understanding. And so but God worked and he was able to have a child. And Sarah was 90 and she'd gone through menopause a long time ago. And yet she had. And so it says in the scriptures that Abraham hoped against hope. And we need to hope. We need to rejoice. God's going to work in you. God's going to do something. God will take care of this. How do we know that? Because we know Him. And we know that He always does things. It may not be in our time, and it may not always be exactly what we want, but He's going to work because He loves us and we understand it. Be patient in tribulation. Wait a minute, you mean in giftings? As I'm doing a gifting, there's tribulation? I don't know if I want that. Well, yeah, there's going to be tribulation. The word, they translate tribulation, it just means trouble. Can you ever have trouble? I mean, in all the giftings, there can be situations come up where there's trouble. And yet, what does He say to be? Patient. That means you don't... That means you just endure. You just keep going on. You don't pull out. And be consistent in prayer. Constantly praying. Why does He command us to do that? Why? Because there's a good chance we won't, right? Because you do it, and all of a sudden you just get tired. And instead of going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm bushed, I'm tired, I'm wearing out in this. Can you please send me some grace to energize me to keep going on? We just pull away. I mean, that's not what God wants. God wants us to be engaged, and He wants to empower us for the task that are at hand. So He says, be constantly in prayer. And then He says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another. I've already read that one, haven't I? Let's go down to verse 13. Sorry. Supply, he says, distribute to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So here's what other things he said. Supply the needs of the saints. I mean, we're supposed to take what we have and share it with others who have needs. Now, again, we've got to be led by the Lord in that because you can hurt a person, but... You know, I mean, if a person has an alcohol problem, you don't go buy them some wine or give them money to do that. But you do need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, they have these needs. What do you want me to do? And the Lord will touch your heart and you move in and do the right thing. Seek to show hospitality. And that's taking people in and making a place for them. In the days the New Testament was written in, people, when they would go travel, there would be nowhere to stay. They didn't have inns quite like we have them today. Motels all over the place. They had some of those, but many times those were brothels, and so you have a set of problems that's going to take place. They were, I don't know if you remember, across from where we used to have our offices when we were downtown at the Canada Dry building, there was a motel that was there called Coliseum Motel. And the cops used to always park in our parking lot, which is right across the street. And I went out and talked with them one day, and they said, we park here. I said, thanks for parking here. It really makes us feel kind of secure to have you sitting in our parking lot. He said, well, I'm glad that's the case, but we're not doing it because of you. We're doing it because we're going to be over there before the night's over. And so we just come and sit here after we finish making our rounds. We just sit here and wait before we go in. Because it was that kind of place where there were gunshots, there was knife stabbings, it was a drug haven, it was a prostitute haven. It's just all the kind of mess. The city finally mowed it down, just bought it and totally destroyed it. But that's the kind of motels that people had to go to in the first century. So many times they would not go into those, they would camp out. Do you remember in the story of Lot in Sodom, when the angels come in to visit, you remember? And they've manifested themselves in physical form. And Lot says, come into my house. And they said, no, we'll hang out in the And Lot says, no, don't do that. Come on, Hank, come with me. Come. And that was hospitality. That's what people did in their day. Well, we don't take people into our homes quite the same way, especially if they're brothers and sisters. They usually have our own homes in our setting. But you can open up your heart to them. You can take them into where they find, no, they've got a safe haven, a place where they're safe, where they can talk with you. And that's showing hospitality. And we bless those who persecute us. You mean you could be helping somebody and they say things against you? Well, it happens. And so, you know what you do? You split the church open. No, God says none of that. God says you bless them. And you bless them. And you bless them. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what God does. And so, even the people that are saying, you know, I mean, I've had to tell people at times some harsh things because they're hurting themselves and they're hurting other people. And so I've had to come in and speak to them, you know, and they've taken great offense at it. I've tried to be proper in doing it and not forceful, but they've taken great offense because I showed them what the Word of God said, and they just had great offense, and they got all kind of mad and said all things about me and took me up to leadership within the church and all this kind of stuff, you know. And our job is to bless them, not to blast them. I love this one. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's why I think it's great when somebody accomplishes something, we bring them in and say, hey, look what they did, because we rejoice with them. But we also need to be tender and weep with the people who have troubles within their lives. And then he says in verse 16, be in the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind upon high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So he tells us to live in harmony with one another. And you know what you have to do to live in harmony with one another? Sometimes you have to drop what you want, right? Anybody that's married understands that, right? If you're going to live in harmony, you understand that you're not always going to get your way. And that's okay, because that's just life. And so you don't have to have your own way. You're not haughty. That's what I mean. You know, I deserve this. I ought to have this. And this is a neat one. The next one is associate with the lowly. You know, we ought to pick out people who are not like us, who need help. You know, I remember a man talking about when he went out, he came in from a date as a teenager, and his dad said, how was the date? And he said, well, it was all right. And his dad said, what'd you do? And he was talking about all the stuff, and he was a fairly popular guy, and he'd been out with all the popular girls that weren't dating somebody else. And his dad said, was anybody there who wasn't having a good time? Yeah, there's people over there. Any of them girls? Yeah, why don't you go talk with him? And he went, well, they're not popular. And he said, so what's that have to do with it? And so the next time they had the gathering, he went in and he started doing his dad said. And he he made some impressions. He was a roommate of mine at school. And when he came to college, his name was Woody. And Woody dated every single girl in the college who wasn't dating somebody. For the senior prom, you know what he did? He took a gal who was in a wheelchair to the senior prom. He had hats. He had 100 hats. Our room was kind of an interesting place to be. But he had 100 hats, and he'd take a hat and wear it today, and he'd give it to the girl that he just took her out to supper. And she'd wear the hat around for a week, and he'd get it back from her. And he just had, and you'd look around. I just look and hear all these hats, and I know they're Woody's hats because I just see him and all these guys. And he went through the whole student body of gals because he just felt like, and he was a very popular guy. He just felt like he was associating with people who maybe wouldn't get dates otherwise. And I thought it was great. Never be wise in your own sight. And that's a big key for us because it's really easy to think that you're somebody when you're really not, and God's somebody, but we're not. And so it's important to understand that. Don't repay evil for evil. Well, that's a hard one to do, isn't it? When somebody comes and accosts you, you want to put up your defenses and come back at them. That's a real hard one. Don't do that, he says. Give thought to doing what's honorable in the sight of all. And so he wants us living a different way. And finally, in 18 and 19, it says, if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So the Lord wants us to live a life a different way. as much as we can do, we live peaceably with everybody else. Are there some things that are deal breakers? Are there some things where you have to say, I can't do that? Of course there are. He's not saying you give in to everything. But as much as you can. And never avenge yourselves. Never avenge yourselves. Let God do that. If you start to get involved in avenging yourself, you know what that means, right? To avenge yourself. You know what that means? When somebody comes and slaps you, then you go, I'm going to slap them back. And you do it and you avenge yourself. If you avenge yourself, then God takes His hand off the situation. And you get to do it. If you then go to God and let Him handle it, He'll do it a whole lot better than you. Because He'll do it without destroying them. And He'll do it in a special way that will push them towards Him. And that's good. And then He says, these hard things for people. He says, and if your enemy needs, you provide for him. And you're never to overcome evil with evil, but always overcome evil with good. So, there's a long list there. You see them on the back, right? I listed them all there. All the 27 different commands. One of them has two of them in it. And I just like you to think about what are three areas that you need some help in. Because there are areas I need help in. Are there any areas you need help in? If somebody says no, then I think there's an area we need to help you with. So, what areas do you have trouble with? I want you just to look on the sheet. We don't have time today to be able to. Well, maybe we do. We've got a few minutes. But I think it would be better for you just to analyze it for a minute and think about what three you need some help with. You may need help with 27, and I understand that. But are there three that you need help with? Because what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for you about those three. Well, I don't know what yours are. Let me tell you what mine are. Be patient in tribulation. Sometimes I am just not very patient with that. And I, y'all don't see it, but my wife sees it. And she has to live with me. Another one that I have some trouble with is do not be wise in your own sight. Because it's real easy. I really have to come before the Lord because you know, I've been in the Bible for a long time. It's real easy to think I'm something, and I know this. And I've really got to come before the Lord because I don't want to be that way and not be that way. And so the haughtiness is part of it, too. Don't want to be haughty. I don't want to think myself more highly than I'll think. So those are the ones I have to deal with and ask the Lord to help me with. And I'm sure you've got some, too, because that's a list. That's one of those lists that Paul gives where he just pops these out like a machine gun and says, these are things you need to be doing in your life. And all of us get hit with one of them at least. And probably at different ones at different times. Well, I want to pray with you because as you're working in your gifting, you've got to make sure that these are the proper ways that you're doing it. If not, do you understand how your gifting can be used for evil rather than good? Because it really can. And it's sad that it's happened in the church that way. But it happens, and I think partly because people aren't taught what God says about His way. That's my aim as a teacher, right? I want you to understand. That's my whole focus. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. And ask God to work. Next, we're going to be talking about how to serve in style, because Paul shows us a great way to do it in a special way. So, thank you, Lord, that you have come to us and rescued us from the disaster of our seeking our own way. Thank you that you have saved us by your grace and you have empowered us by your Spirit. Thank you that you've gifted us with rich giftings. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, especially for my sisters who've been wives and who've been moms, that you would help them to sort through all the activities that they do all the time and come out with the ones that they really relate with for the body. Thank you for ministering to all these folk. Would you show them your grace this week as they walk with you? Would you supply their needs that they have in their lives as they walk with you? Would you bless the children of these families and the grandchildren, the nieces and the nephews, all these ones who are younger and aren't out away from home yet. Would you bless them, Lord, richly that they might know your hand and might see your face and might walk with you all the days of their life, that they might know joy and satisfaction and comfort in time of trouble throughout their entire existence on this planet. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. We love you and we thank you for your great love for us. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Lord's Day. We're dispersed.